This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
It is DiPietro, it is Rothenberg, it is you. On Friday, April the 28th, as we're between rounds one and two of the NFL draft, and the Rangers might want to know that they were supposed to play a game last night, and the Mets tried to blow a game as best they could, and the Yankees now without their best player, at least for a couple days. Before we get to any of it, we say good morning to my partner in crime, the one and only Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. What an awful, awful night for you last night.
Awful.
Awful night.
Awful. 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 I mean, I can't even believe that that's the way the Rangers showed up. And I was very nervous. You know, like, no, they're gonna show up. And Don's like, no, they're gonna show up. And to show up like that or not show up like that for an all important game five after you couldn't score and played awful for games three and four, pathetic performance.
Yeah, that game could have easily been 8-0, 9-0. Shesterkin made some unbelievable saves. It was funny. I was listening to the post game afterwards in Valley. Maybe this is a goalie thing, but I was doing the same thing he was doing. I was like marking down on my notes big saves that Igor made. Like make sure you remember this save in case the Rangers can finally score a goal on Akira Schmid and actually make this a game. But no.
But no is right. But no. Thank God. And the Mets, I mean, I'm in the doldrums. I'm all depressed, right? The draft is going fine. It's funny. I didn't think it would be nearly that big a deal. That move from 13 to 15 really completely changed the Jets' trajectory of what they were going to do there.
It's Belichick.
Yep. Well, does that surprise you?
Again. Yeah, Belichick again. Thanks.
You think that there's not a little piece of him that's like, yep, they're not getting their offensive lineman?
Probably. Yeah, absolutely. That was the fear going in, that the three tackles that they identified as the ones they were interested in would be gone by the time we got to 15.
And that's exactly that. Now, had you been drafting at 13, that wouldn't have been the case.
No, you drafted at 13, you get Broderick Jones, the guy you wanted.
Exactly that. So that's a little disheartening. So you had that, then the Rangers, then, you know, I had to take something out of the rotation. I thought Mets up 7-2. You know, you could take that out of the rotation a little bit. Flip it on, Lindor makes another error, and then they hit every batter who walks up to the plate, and then a grand slam, and before you know it, the Mets are losing now 8-7.
It's not just any grand slam either. It's your guy who gives up the grand slam.
Well, listen, I like Raley.
Well, I know. You said it. So that's why he's now your guy. But luckily for us, Pete comes up with a huge double, and then Jeff McNeil, you look at what he's done over the last, I think, 11 games, has been on fire, hits the triple, and we find a way to sneak one out.
Right.
And Brett Beatty had a nice game.
He did. He's a good player. And Alvarez starting to hit a little bit too. So at least
Alvarez got to play every day, man. You want to start talking about, like, this lineup is light? Thomas Nito is not going to be the answer. The guy with the potential is Francisco Alvarez.
100%. 100%. So then I have that, but I'm all depressed about the Rangers. Then the Jets don't get the guy that they want. And then, I don't know, it might have been the most upsetting thing of the night. Mel Kiper says nothing.
Nothing.
Not a word.
I have plenty of time, too. I've watched it back three times, and I stayed up to watch it. I figured this, if anything could save the night, would be good old Mel.
And we didn't need it's my favorite show, these guys are elite, I listen to them every morning from 6 to 10. I was on with my guys, DiPietro and Rothenberg, and I told them that the Giants might go corner. That's all I'm looking for.
So the plan's gone.
The plan is gone, is right.
I'll tell you what else is gone. Whipped cream, gone.
That's it. There's no way he can salvage his misstep from last night.
No. Yesterday was the day.
Yeah.
The deal was yesterday. I mean, the second round is not going to do anything for me.
You think he calls today?
I don't know who's more disappointed. Me and you or Will Levis right now? I would say us.
I think it's possible.
You can't do that kid a solid, too.
And tell what him he's not drafted up? In the first round.
Ugh.
He's got to sit there all night long. Is Levis going to go 2? No. 4? No. 8? No. 20? No. First round? Nope. Just sit there and pretend that you're not having the worst night of your entire life, pal.
Awful. And then you start feeling bad for him because, I mean, that would be the worst thing ever. And plus, they have it the way they had the draft green room set up. I was watching something on it. They had it by position, like each position had kind of like their own little pod.
Right.
So he's sitting with all the other quarterbacks. They go, Bryce Young gone, C.J. Stroud gone, Anthony Richardson gone. And he's just sitting there.
Not only did they go, didn't they go like 1-2-4?
Right.
Right. So they go 1-2-4, and this poor guy's just, he's just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And finally, you get to the end of the first round. Mercifully. But could you imagine how awful that guy? I mean, to have your worst day is bad. To have your worst day when the entire world is watching it, that's terrible.
It's awful. And having, like, luckily for me, I knew the night before where I was going to get drafted. But if I was in Calgary, if I had taken the trip all the way to Calgary and had to sit there through the entire first round as someone that was rated that high in the draft, like Mel had him, I think Mel thought he was his favorite quarterback, right? So, I mean, then we had the discussion. I think RJ did it on CMT where C.J. Stroud and Levis would go. I picked the right guy. I picked C.J. Stroud. But, I mean, the odds in Vegas said Will Levis. And that poor guy goes there with his family all dressed up nice and just sits there.
Over.
And, of course, they're going to show him over and over again.
Well, he became the story because that's the theme.
I'm staying home. You know what I would do? I would stay home.
Well, why would you stay home if you think you're going to go in the top 7?
Yeah, but I don't know. Now I'm mad at my agent. Just to have a big party at home. They'll set the cameras up for you. I don't need to be there. It's in Kansas City. It's not in Vegas.
Yeah, but you say that now. That's Monday morning quarterback. You thought he was going to go top 8, top 10.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? Yep. In all honesty, and I was the first overall pick. As cool as it was, and it was an amazing moment, if I had the option of being set up in Winthrop, where I grew up.
With John Winthrop?
No, not with John. Well, that would be fun, too. But in my hometown with all my family and friends.
Style.
Able to celebrate with me to celebrate, I probably would have enjoyed that more. It was great, don't get me wrong, but having the ability to be around all your friends and family, you know, they show you celebrate for a second, then it's on to the next pick, and then you're there with all your friends and family to enjoy it.
I can imagine that being a great moment, but I actually felt bad for him. And I will say this, if you didn't feel badly for him, you're some kind of monster.
I told you, I watched his sit down with Peyton Manning and I did not like it.
You did. You said you were unimpressed with it. But still, I mean, just based on potential alone, quarterbacks like that don't typically fall to round 2.
No, not with all the physical traits that he has. He's banged up last year. That could be part of it. I think people were concerned about his toe. But that's important, man. I mean, that.
Well, I think Mortensen, I don't know if you saw that, Mortensen had the tweet where he said he talked to 2 separate executives in the NFL and they were very concerned about his toe.
Yeah, concerned about his toe. But if you take the toe, which might need surgery, on top of maybe some questions about his character, we'll call it his character. Like, that was the reason why Bryce Young went first. Like, just because of the kind of guy he is, the kind of leader he is. Like,
and if you're brilliant.
Right, but he's a small guy, and if you're looking at, you know, I got some guys that like C.J. Stroud, and we have Bryce Young who's got the tape, he's got the production, and on top of that, when you look at his, you know, the way he leads, the kind of kid he is, the way he was raised, like, that makes you feel a little bit more confident.
Confident enough that he went number 1.
Dude, I mean, just think of what happens, though. I mean, you start taking quarterbacks that early in the draft and it doesn't work out. You ain't going to have a job for that long.
No, that's going to be it. So you get a quarterback 1, 2, 4, and that's it. I'll tell you what, there's a ton of talent still left standing right now. A ton of talent.
Well, there's a ton of talent left standing. There are a couple teams that did really well, I thought.
The Cardinals did very well.
Yeah, Cardinals.
Eagles, I thought, did very well.
Of course, Eagles did really well. Even Houston, to be as aggressive as they were. To get the quarterback, then come back up and get Will Anderson. I mean, yeah, those are two
positions. They got 2 guys you look at, they're going to be really good. I mean, you gave up a lot to get Will Anderson. He better be a stud.
Right, but that has to be the hope. I mean, it's a premium position. Quarterback, obviously, but, I mean, guys that get after the quarterback, that's a premium position. I'm sure you're forecasting moving forward, like what's going to be available at that position next season. Like it, Houston's made some really, between free agency and this draft, with the addition of the new coach, I don't know if it's enough to, in such a dysfunctional organization, to make it work, but I mean, it feels like they're headed in the right direction.
It feels like it. I mean, how disappointed were you with the Jets last night?
I was very disappointed.
You desperately wanted and desperately need an offensive lineman. And really, to be honest with you, the only thing I think standing in the way of the Jets in a very special season is the offensive line. And I know that there's a lot of draft left and there's still good players, but you didn't address it at all. I mean, nothing. And I understand that you're excited about the potential of a guy who can get to the quarterback, and that's great. But your offensive line has legitimate question marks, and you did nothing last night.
No, you did nothing. I mean, and you saw how long they took the clock down, looking like they were trying to trade back. I mean, we talked about that yesterday morning, that if the three weren't available, they would look to move back and recoup some draft picks. But, I mean, this is what happens, too, when you have a defensive-minded head coach and the way he likes to run his defensive line. Likes to come at you in waves.
I get it.
I mean, look at their defensive line, man. Look at the amount of guys they have that can get after the quarterback. And they better address, I mean, with this second-round pick, this 43rd pick, they better address it today.
And I don't care if there's a guy that you recognize as someone you really want and you have to move up and get him. I mean, you have to, and not just one pick for the offensive line moving forward. I need a couple offensive linemen.
Well, and of course, Aaron Rodgers too, right? I mean, what was his biggest complaint in Green Bay? They never draft offensive players in the first round.
They didn't do it again.
So what do? We drafted a defensive player in the first round.
It's like, we'll show you. You had a lot to say about it. The next guy is going to be allowed to say nothing about it. We'll do whatever it is that we want. Right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that sucks. I mean, that was the risk that you ran. And I knew the second that New England traded that pick, I was like, you son of a...
Yep. Of course. And I'm sure we've had success.
I mean, we've had success drafting guys with braces, too. I mean, Broderick Jones has the braces,
yeah,
which would have made perfect sense because Quinnen Williams, he came out of college fresh with the braces, and he's been awesome.
He did. You know what was real likable last night? Paris Johnson's a likable kid, huh?
Very likable.
You see, he speaks many, many languages, too?
Yep.
Interesting. What do you think about the Giants?
I think they did exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah, I like what they did. A lot of people are like, oh, how could you trade a fifth and a seventh? I mean, come on, stop it.
Well, did you see what happened to the Jets?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So there was a guy you liked, and you let Pittsburgh jump up and take him ahead of you. So they like Deontay Banks. I mean, the kid, have you seen some of his numbers from the combine?
It's very exciting.
Ridiculous.
It's very exciting.
Get him.
He is athletically off the charts, and I retweeted something last night that's like I'd have to find it again, but like of this elite athleticism, there's been three guys in the last decade that have been able to jump as high and run as fast as him. He's at a different level.
Dave, he ran a 4.35 and has a 42.5-inch vertical.
It's insane.
Right, and we talked about, I mean, we had Mel on, and today could be the last day of Mel, just with how disrespectful
last night
was.
You think he even calls today,
no,
though?
No, I don't think he, I wouldn't, because I'd be so ashamed of myself. But, I mean, Mel was saying that, they were talking about it last night, that there, I mean, the more scouts you talk to, the more said that in the first round, maybe it was, what, 10, 12 guys had legitimate first-round grades?
Yes.
So if that's him, if it's one of your 12 guys,
and you get him at 24, I guess now,
then you got to. I mean, you got to give up a little to make sure you get one of the guys that should be a first round pick that's got a elite athleticism in a position that you need, and the wide receivers are gone. How about the Chargers too? Getting another big wide receiver for Justin Herbert.
Scary.
Ugh.
Scary. You know, it's funny because I was watching. I was like, boy, the Giants are going to have their pick of the receiver. And then it's like receiver goes 20, 21, 22. It's like, oh, now they're not. And I had heard that the two guys they really liked were Flowers and Addison.
Right.
And Njigba and Johnston went before them. Like, are they going to have their shot at one of those two guys? They didn't. But overall, I feel like the Giants did really well. Apparently, Wink Martindale loves this kid. Loves him.
Yeah, you had the four wide receivers. I mean, that's another thing, too, that's pretty telling, that the first wide receiver didn't go to 20, and then you had the run, all four went. Yeah, I think they hit a home run. I think it's a position they definitely needed, and they got a guy that has off-the-charts athletic ability.
Yeah, so that's good. You pair him with Adoree Jackson. They'll probably take a couple more players on the defensive side of things and try to shore up the offensive line and maybe a receiver in the second round, and you hope to be a better team than you were last year.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Because as much as I was so excited with the Knicks story and discussing that, and then the Aaron Rodgers story and discussing that, the last thing I want to be talking about today, you know, people say to you all the time, or at least me, like, don't you love what you do? I love it. I do. I absolutely love it. I've wanted to do it since I'm a little kid. It's phenomenal. There are days when having to discuss moments like last night with the Rangers that it is not fun for me. And today will be one of those days. That was awful. It was a terrible performance. They could have lost, like you said, 8-0. They didn't show up. And now we got to sit here and discuss it nonstop.
Well, I don't know if they didn't show up.
That was not a good performance.
I'm going to be a good friend. Well, I didn't get off to a great start.
No, a fluky goal 30 seconds in is
right.
Not good.
Face-off win, not a great rebound, ends up in the back of your net. That's not how you want to start. And then from there, I mean, you're talking about killing off a minute and 59 seconds of a power play. They score with 1 second left in the PP, just slides through Igor, and then you give up a shorthanded goal. I mean, you can't get a forecheck. You're not getting pucks through.
No.
Akira Schmid. There was one play, and I actually picked out and put it in my notes. So he had that awful turnover where he passed the puck directly to Kako. But if you watch the way he reacted to it, coming from a guy who's turned over plenty of pucks in front of the net, usually when that happens, you're a frantic mess because you're like, oh, my God, I just turned the puck over. So you're scrambling around. He gets a grade-A scoring chance. The way this kid reacted was like, no big deal. Like I'm telling you right now, the hockey puck looks the size of a beach ball for this kid.
Great.
Like, he is that calm and composed right now.
Great.
Someone needs to run him. Zibanejad got a penalty last night.
I thought they tried last night a little bit.
No, he's way too comfortable. The kid is way, way too comfortable. He is dialed in.
I cannot believe that we went from those first two games where the Rangers toyed with the Devils, destroyed the Devils, and this is the same two teams, that this is even the same series.
Right. Well, it's a team that didn't have a lot of experience. I mean, you got Andre Pilat, who's won a couple cups, but I mean, they were new to this. The Rangers, the more experienced team, came out in the first two games and gave it to them.
But where are their guy? Where is Kane? Where is Zibanejad? Where is Panarin? Where is Kako? Where is Lafreniere? Where is Hedel? I mean, there are how many guys that are doing, Rick, literally nothing for the Rangers right now?
Right, because, I mean, a lot of it has to do with how New Jersey's playing. I mean, it's tough when, I mean, they're making it hard to get in the zone. You're not getting great dumps. You're not getting great forecheck. Your power play stinks.
It was elite. Power play looked unbelievable. Now, and they even did what you wanted. You've been calling for Zibanejad on the left side, and now he is, and they still can't score.
Well, yeah, they can't score. I mean, and they give up two, a power play and a shorthanded goal. Yeah, it's bad, man. It's really bad.
They have any chance to win two games here?
Who, the way they're playing right now? It doesn't feel great, no.
I mean, do you have any intestinal fortitude where you come out and show some heart and some guts tomorrow night?
I think they'll show some heart and guts. It was funny, though, to see the coach after the game where he tried, like,
he's at a loss.
Yeah, he's searching for ways to motivate his guys. I would tell him, like, I don't need you to rip us or rah-rah us. Like, give us, like, let's change something. Like find a way. Like, do something to give us an edge here, because the adjustments that the Devils have made have worked, and we've done nothing to address it.
Nothing. Here is Gerard Gallant on the shutout loss in Game 5.
Yeah, it was, like I said, the first goal was sort of a lucky goal off a face-off, and, you know, they got that 1-0 lead, and, you know, we had a few chances in the first, but just weren't good enough. I thought we played a lot harder than we did the other night, but we couldn't find a way to get a goal, and we had some traffic, and I thought the goalie played really well for them tonight. Our goalie was excellent, too, but I thought Schmidt was really good.
So now he's taking the exact opposite tack, right?
Yeah, because he has no answers. Schmidt did make a great glove save on Panarin in the first. And then he had that big one. He didn't get much. He didn't get a lot of wood on it, but Kako, that rebound chance where Schmidt was sprawling and made the glove save, that was right after the Devils scored their second goal, so that would have been a big goal for the Rangers. But, yeah, all I know is that if they lose this series, that...
Then what?
Coach is probably going to get fired.
And then some? Or
then
that's
I wouldn't
it?
Be, and I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I mean, do you hang on to... I mean, some of these players... Kako, do you trade him? Do you trade Lafreniere? Like, you can't run it back with the same group next season.
Yeah, but you got good pieces, man. I mean, you got an elite goalie who was awesome last night. You got good defensemen. You're just playing a team right now that, I mean, it looks like is not a good matchup for you. They're faster. I mean, right now, the goalie looks like he's a grizzled veteran.
Great.
Like, the moment is no big deal.
Like, he's
by the way,
whole life for this, right?
Little nugget. Little tasty nugget for you. So, Randy Zoo, as you like to call him, who plays a lot of our...
Randy the Zoo.
Right, who plays a lot of our events.
Right.
His wife's niece...
Oh, God, hang on. His wife's... So Randy the Zoo has a wife. The wife has a niece, and that's what happened to this person. What happened?
Is engaged to Akira Schmidt.
Then we need to get to her.
How about that?
We need to get to her.
We can't get to her. We're not doing that.
Why? We know Randy... Randy knows his wife. The wife knows the niece. The niece, you know, maybe she does something.
What are we talking about?
We get her as like a double agent.
No, we can't have a double agent.
Why?
Because, she's there for her future husband. We can't. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
I can't do that to Randy.
Why not?
Well,
I barely even know Randy. I'll do
fan.
It. Let me do it.
See, I should have kept my mouth shut. You can't be trusted.
Get her on the phone. RJ, get Denise on the phone. No?
I don't think that's going to help.
Oh, that's great. Here is Chris Kreider saying and he's the one guy that's really shown up this series. What do you mean, not really?
Yeah, I mean, the first couple games. Where's he been lately?
But at least he showed up the first couple games. This guy's 5 goals.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you have guys that you look at as offensive juggernauts that have done nothing in this series. Nothing.
They've been outscored 9-2 in the last 3 games.
They have 2 goals in what? 3 games and almost another full period.
Yeah, it's not what you want, David.
2 goals.
Power play 0-10.
Oh, after going, 4-10?
That's right.
But it looks so good. I mean, how often does it look so good and then turn to look so bad?
This
doesn't happen that often.
This bad? No. I mean, I think that every Rangers fan that watched those first 2 games thought, ooh, we're going to win this thing in 5.
How could you not have thought to yourself about winning the Stanley Cup after watching the first 2 games?
How could you not?
And by the way, Grasa, dead to me.
Wow.
Dead to me.
And he came in the studio yesterday and he kind of chuckled right in your face.
Well, he's like, I had nothing to do with anything. You know what? You don't say it. You don't say it. And I'm sure deep inside, Don's all excited.
No, we should have given him a little. We should have given him a beating. We should have locked that door and beat him down a little bit.
I don't want anybody coming in the studio anymore.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
I don't want it. I don't want any part of it. Let's go
sleeping with my mother-in-law.
Well, maybe if you stop taking days off, we won't have to worry about this.
I'll never take a day off again, okay?
Okay.
All right, Joe in the truck. Good morning, Joe. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good
Good morning. Good morning. You guys basically said exactly what I was going to say. Unbelievable on Dan Graca. Unbelievable.
Well, because he's a Devils fan, Joe.
What?
He's a Devils fan, so he was just like, oh, we're going to get swept. It's over. He reversed jinxed the whole thing.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. Unbelievable. You can't even take a day off to take care of your wife, and you got to think about this stuff. Unreal.
Saying, hi, this is Rob Manfred. Do you like baseball? Do you like the speed of the game? Do you like the way the game's being played?
Ugh.
You can't trust a man that does impersonations like that.
No,
you know
what else? He says he doesn't even care. Like, it's like, I'm a Devils fan, but, you know, my fandom's not what it used to be. I don't really care all that much anymore. Then be quiet. Then stop.
Yeah,
and then he comes
out.
In yesterday, and he's like, Mets suck. They're done.
So everyone's done with him.
Awful.
He cares about one person and one person only.
And that's himself. All he cares about.
The man takes glamour shots of parking spots that he likes. I'm done with Graca.
Hey, yo, cop, fair link. You want some turtle food, eh?
I'm willing to drive shows by myself. Solo
yeah.
shows now.
I think we do like a Rick and the Zoo kind of thing. You're out, and it's you hosting, hijinks, all that. Then you bring in RJ. Then you got Raymond. You guys go back and forth. I think that's a fun show.
It's Damer and DePietro, and...
You don't need Graca.
Well, these guys don't talk, though. That's what you need to understand.
They haven't been the Hornets.
You leave, these guys go mute.
But I think if it was understood going into a show what it had to be. You know what
well,
I think? I think this is. They
like
I think
to
this,
watch me suffer is what they
I think
like
this screams for Ty.
Ty is the king of all trolls.
But he's another troll.
Yeah, but at least we know he cares. I mean, he's a front runner, but at least we know he cares.
He's a front runner, but at least we know he cares.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I don't know if I'm more angry or sad, but you're probably not going to get the best performance out of me today. I apologize for that.
No, I'll get the best out of you.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you will.
I don't think so.
Well, you're happy about your draft. I mean,
I'm very happy
you?
About the draft.
Okay.
But I don't get to
who's
see,
your favorite
I don't
team?
Get to see that until September.
Yeah, but who's your favorite team?
The Giants.
Okay.
So what? It doesn't mean I don't care about other teams.
No, I know you care about other teams, but I think you need to focus on the positives.
Giants did well.
So you can give me your best, because
you're not going to get my best today. You're going to get like a mailed-in, watered-down, mediocre performance today.
No, but you were so good yesterday.
Well, you know what? I gave everything I had yesterday. I got nothing left.
You know what they say about that, obviously.
Obviously. Some gave all and some... Some gave all, obviously.
I'll tell you what, though. The quartet, whew, it's gorgeous.
How did they not make a promo out of that?
Because, I mean, it hacks. Okay? Hacks.
I mean, how good was that singing? I mean, we are New York, and we love basketball. We're going to take it all, because we're the New York Knicks. That's elite.
I sung that song all day yesterday.
I mean, if we got a call from like a Springsteen or a Billy Joel or Barbara and said, listen, we want you to open up for us, would that surprise you?
No. I was throwing batting practice yesterday at Little League, and I was singing the song to myself. In between, I went, we are New York. And the kid's like, what are you singing? I was like, nothing. Just hit the ball.
Sing with me now.
Just hit it, okay?
We are New York, and we love basketball. We're going to take it all, because we're the New York Knicks.
That really is great.
I got into it. I had to stand up. I had the microphone up.
Yeah, you can barely even stand, and you have to stand up.
Well, sometimes the music just takes control.
I know. You felt the rhythm. Let's go to some of these calls here. Wes in East Hanover. Good morning, Wes. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, company. How are we doing? Well, I already know how you're doing, so let me not go there. I think there's another culprit to blame. I'm a Devils fan. Mm-hmm. So before Dan ever opened his mouth on that day filling in for you, Dave, Ray, his rejoins, were all Jersey artists. We had Bon Jovi halfway there. And look, you're still halfway there. We had Springsteen, Glory Days, the song that the Devils play go through the stars. So I think Ray is also responsible, and I just want to thank him for it.
Ray.
Raymond. What were you doing then?
I mean, I would do it again. I could play them again today if you'd like. If that, oh,
maybe you need to. No, maybe you need to reverse the curse that you've started here.
I don't see it as a curse at all. None of those
you're like
those
the Brian Cashman of producers. You're so stubborn.
Yeah, that's fair.
Play
that's
Aaron accurate. Hicks. Play the Aaron Hicks song.
There's an Aaron Hicks song?
Yeah, well,
song
I'm just Aaron saying Hicks? If there were, you'd play it.
Well, I haven't really considered that, so wouldn't
why would
have
you
one.
Do, Raymond, why would you do that, though? We're halfway there. What were you thinking?
Because they were halfway there, literally. And as he said, they still are.
And how about every time I'm like despondent?
And not
go ahead, Ray. You take over. Have at it.
I'm sorry.
No. Well, I mean, don't pay attention to me. I was like literally halfway into a point, and
you
jumped me.
You
know
what?
It's like I'm walking down the alley. You put a bag over my head and started pummeling me. Go ahead.
Your name
is on the
show.
Really, you go.
No. Your name is on the show. Go right ahead.
No. The last thing I want to do. I mean, it's one thing if we're like in a battle and we both talk at the same time and then you're louder and I give it to you. I was in the midst of a point, like a third of the way into a point, and you're just like, you know what? I'm Ray.
A third of the way to what point exactly?
I quite honestly, I have no idea at this moment, but I had something
because,
ready to go.
Because I didn't hear a modicum of anything that was actually a point
Rick,
there.
Rick, as the independent arbiter on the show, did you not hear me well into a point? Honestly,
it was a touch of a steamroller face right there, a little bit.
I mean, my God, Ray, God, what did you have to say? It must have been something great.
No, I've forgotten because I've been shouted down. So forget it. Go ahead, do what.
And now you know what he's going to do. He's going to be the victim. That's what he's going to do.
I'm a hero.
Let's go to Mike.
Hold on.
I steamroll you right over your face. Is what I do. Ray, can I go to another call or two?
Oh my goodness,
it's your show.
Would that be? Is it though? Lou and Manalapan. Lou, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, fellas.
What do you want?
You guys are hilarious. Ray is a bad guy for playing halfway there, living on a prayer. But listen, it's crazy how in 24 hours the feelings of in New York can just switch. And, you know, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, the lack of heart that the Rangers are playing with. You know, these are kids. We went out, we got experienced players this year. It wasn't last year where it was let's go on a run, no one thinks we could make. This year, we go out, we get Kane, we go out, we get Tarasenko. You know, our coach can't make adjustments. It's actually embarrassing that we're still rolling out with the same power play. We're rolling out with the same top two lines. You know, Mika, Tarasenko, and Panarin were scoring goals, and we can't put them back on the line together. It was just really pathetic. I think it might have been the worst hockey game I've ever watched. And on top of that, it's brutal losing to the Devils like this. All I'm thinking about is Putty on Seinfeld and their stupid fans, and just it's just disgusting. By the way, I'm on my way to the Islanders right now to work, early call time. So hopefully they could get it done for you, Rick. But, you know, New York sports.
Early call time? What do they have you doing? It's not even 7 in the morning yet.
8:30 in the morning for utility.
Oh well, how far away from UBS are you?
I left because I'm a lifelong traveler to Long Island. I don't trust the Belt Parkway and the BQE all that well. I just got into Staten Island, about to get over the Verrazano. But, 8:30, expected to be an hour early, but I'll take a nap in the car.
Look at how committed you are, Lou.
That's a hell of a commute.
Yeah,
he doesn't even like the Islanders.
Coming from Manalapan through Staten Island, wow. You're a trooper.
Yeah, it's rough. Rough. Anyway, have a good one, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I might hire Lou for something.
He's a good worker. He has commitment to the job.
He's like, I'll just take an hour nap in the parking lot. What a guy.
I mean, that's right out of your playbook.
You know what was gross? Try to guess what the grossest part of last night's performance was for the Rangers. I mean, there's a bunch of different things you could choose, but I thought the grossest?
I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Being outshot 20-2 in the third period.
Oh, yes. I thought you were talking about one specific play. How does that happen? How do you not come out?
You're lucky
out?
Shesterkin played. I mean, Shesterkin was awesome. Otherwise,
could have been
that 7-0 game would have been
last night.
At least. At least 7-0.
But how do you come out with that little energy in the third period when your backs are literally right up against the wall?
Oh, you know what? It's not even that, though. It's like, if you're going to lose, you know, we're talking about the Knicks now. Everyone loves the Knicks because they're so tough to play against. And even like with tough teams like that, like the 90s Knicks, even if they lost, it felt like they took a piece of the other team. Like, go take a piece of them. The series isn't over yet. This wasn't the last game. You got to play game six.
Yeah, I agree. There was one moment, and I forget who it was, you guys will remember, where Trouba had somebody lined up and was going to put him into next week. And the guy just picked his head up and he missed him. Like, if those moments happen, maybe it changes the complexion of things.
Well, that's what happened last year. I mean, Gaudreau tried to. I mean, I give Gaudreau credit. He tried to fight and try to get his team going. But against the guy who is, I mean, 6'6". So at least he tried. But, I mean, to lose point, I mean, you went and traded for Tarasenko, Mikula. Like, Tarasenko's won a cup.
Right.
Then you bring in Kane, who's won three cups. You get Tyler Mott back to solidify your fourth line.
I didn't think he was awful last night.
No, but it's those. See, that's the thing, though. It's if you're going to start making adjustments and your top guys are having a hard time getting pucks in because, I mean, they're skilled guys, so they'd like to... You know, they like to carry the puck in and set things up as opposed to dumping it in and go get it. It's not easy to go dump it in and go get it. But that's what guys on that four, like Tyler Mott's good at, Barkley Goodrow's good at. Like, they're the ones that go retrieve pucks. Vincent Trocheck's good at it. Like, if you got to sprinkle one of those guys in with a couple really skilled guys to make sure they go get the puck for your skilled guys, like, do something. Anything.
Very, very, very frustrating. Let's go to... Tom in Hackettstown. Tom, good morning. You're next up on 98.7.
Morning, Dave. Morning, Rick. How you guys doing?
Dave's in a mood
today.
Love
to hear it, Dave. I'm a big Devils fan. The game was great last night.
Here we go.
I was just calling. I mean, Kane took the two penalties. Your boys, Zibanejad, took two. And just start Kane, try to keep them in the game. And Devils look great. Hopefully, we can get it done on Saturday. Also, great job by the Giants. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you. I mean, this guy's had one of the great days of his life, huh?
Well, they're so nice to you, though. I don't understand why Devils fans can't call in and mock you.
Well, what did I do to the Devils fan to deserve mockery? I was not nasty to the Devils fan, ever.
Well, because I don't think there's not very many opportunities to take shots at you. I mean, you destroyed Stump Rothenberg on Wednesday. You're a savant.
Yeah, but I don't sit here making... When the Rangers went up 2-0, I wasn't mocking or making fun of the Devils.
No, I understand that, but I just think, I mean, sometimes you act all high and mighty. It's nice once in a while to hear people take shots.
So you love it?
Yeah.
I mean, you love it.
Guilty pleasure.
So your Islanders were on the verge of getting bounced, and I was a gentleman to you. You went through the entire Aaron Rodgers saga, and I was a gentleman to you. And then I go through tough times, and this is the way you treat me?
How many times, RJ, how many times over the last month has Dave mentioned that he actually at one point said, I drive to UBS and steal the money from UBS.
You have mentioned that.
It is a bank.
But you said that I went to the rink.
He doesn't go to the ATM.
Well, right. Well, because they don't have that kind of money at the ATM.
No. Right. Well, they put it right into my ATM. I don't have to worry about it. Finally get direct deposit.
But that's fun and games. That's like right. That's what we do.
Yeah, let's attack Rick's career. That's fun.
This is real life.
Yeah, let's attack Rick's career. That's fun.
What do you want me to do?
You animal. You see me limping around the studio.
What do you want from me?
I want you to love me.
I'm on fumes today. I got nothing.
I want you to love me.
I do love you.
I want you to fight with Raymond because it makes me happy, too. I love it.
Because Ray, I mean, I can't believe he did that to me. I was in the middle of talking, and he's just like, I'm going to talk.
It's your show. Is it?
I mean, when he did that, you were not taken aback by that?
I just, it's kind of like I just sit back and enjoy myself, really. I just love the show. I could just sit here and listen to it. You guys are animals.
Bad guy, Raymond. Bad guy. All right, let's continue. Maybe we'll get to some of these Jets calls and Giants calls. Let's go to, this'll spruce it up a little bit. Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Sorry about the Rangers there, Dave.
Are you really, though, Ira? Like how much of an impact does it have on your life that the Rangers lost?
To me, personally, none, but I care for my friends. And if my friends are not having a good day, I feel bad for them.
All right, well, that seems genuine. Thank you.
So, anyway, getting to the draft, all right? Listen, you know the Patriots. They stuck it to the Jets. They didn't want them to get that tackle. But you got to give Douglas credit. Whether he's right or wrong about this McDonald kid, he stuck to his board. And listen, you never have enough good edge rushers. To me, if this kid develops, it sounds like Carl Wilson will be out of here after this year. He'll step in. The only thing that scares me, I remember a guy like Aaron Maben, tremendous speed rusher, but never developed. Hopefully this kid is not going to be that type of player. But the one thing, they left a glaring hole. They still don't have that answer at tackle. Mm-mm. Now, I can't blame the Jets. All the tackles were gone, and I'm not going to reach for somebody at 15. You know they were trying to trade down. But they went. That's why I give them credit. They stuck with the board. And most times out of not, if you stick to your draft board, at the end of a couple of years, you're usually ahead of the game.
I have an idea. I have an idea. I want to run it by both you, Ira and Rick. And then you guys, Ira, you'll react off it first, and then Rick. Okay? And then Ray, if you want to jump in and interrupt anybody, you're welcome to. All right? And that is, how about you call up the Bengals and you make an offer for Jonah Williams?
I do it in 5 minutes.
Rick?
I mean, how many more draft picks are you willing to give up?
Well, I mean, thanks for the call, Ira. You're all in now, right?
Yeah, you're all in now. But, I mean, this is, again, I mean, Aaron was talking about it yesterday on his little side scrum, that this is not a one and done. So, I mean, yeah, you're all in, but, I mean, you're
also... It's not a one and done, but you're doing everything within your power to win this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, I mean, how much cap space do you have, too?
You can always finagle that, though.
Right, yeah, I mean, you got just over $7 million.
Right, but you can restructure a contract, cut somebody. Do you have to have Corey Davis on this team?
Yeah, but you also, Aaron Rodgers, over $100 million next year.
That's great. I never heard of anything like
that. It's like $107 million.
Yeah, but you've gone so far down the road.
I get it.
Now you're gonna go to the table with an offensive line, which is substandard for this guy?
Well, let's see what they do today.
That's fair.
Let's see what they do today. I mean, let's see what Mekhi Becton looks like. I mean, let's see what else is floating around as far as, you know, veteran guys that want to be a part of this this Jets run. But, I mean, it was the risk that you ran by swapping those picks, man. And they decided to go with the guy who didn't actually, I was reading some stuff last night, didn't start playing football until his junior year of high school.
Well, McDonald?
Yeah, and if anyone wants to, the NFL, I think it's on, that was Instagram. One of them showed, they had a video of him. Dude, he is a freak. Like, he's jumping over cars.
He's a freak of nature. He's one of those freak athletes is what he is.
He's just thin. He's long, but he's thin.
Yeah, but you can work on that.
Yeah, you can work on that. I mean, he's got the production. They were talking a lot about his bend off the edge. I mean, I guess they'll probably use him on the wide nine, so he'll have space to work. And then they're going to come at you, I mean, with their depth at that position. And just try to wear you out and hope that they get leads.
Bring them in waves. And then, yeah, exactly that. Because if you're one-dimensional and you could just say, go get to the quarterback, maybe he can be that guy, which would be tremendous for the Jets.
It's funny because Mel said McDonald.
Mel.
And then McShay attacked him.
Good.
Because McShay thought Smith, Nolan Smith from Georgia, or the kid Cansey from Pitt.
You know what's funny, too? Is when, have you noticed, like, these teams get their picks in, and they...
But why are they celebrating?
Well, I mean, they celebrate like they've just won the lottery, like, huge hugs and dancing around. It's like, I mean, my God, did you not think they were going to make a pick?
Yeah, like, we're happy the pick got in time? Like, I don't understand what we're celebrating.
But it's not just the Jets. I saw, like the Cowboys are doing it, the Giants are doing it. It's like, there's such excitement.
Santa, you would know this. Is that Steven's son? That stands behind him and Jerry?
Most likely. I didn't really
look at it. Right, so he's the one, like, he's kind of learning on the job?
Well, I think the kids...
That's not the quarterback, is it?
There's one that's a quarterback at Arkansas right now. But I don't think that's him, no.
He looked like Steven, kind of. Oh, we got to mention, too, because it was actually the highlight of the Jets pick was Kyle Stickles. Yeah, Kyle Stickles was awesome.
He was great.
Oh, he was amazing.
And he looked so good.
Yeah, he was dressed to the nines. He had all sorts of energies, pumping up the crowd. Let's go. Did the J-E-T-S. Jets,
and he got it right. It's not an easy chant, you know.
Well, think about how many people are there, too.
Yeah, he was really good.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Yeah, it's not an easy chant.
You guys all suck. I thought it was awesome.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't really work out great.
The spelling, the timeliness.
Oh,
the whole
we spelt
thing.
It right. It's the timing.
New
was
York
off.
J-E-T-E Jets.
J-E-T-E.
Oh, we didn't even mention this, too. What are we doing? Like, why are you such a hack at your job?
Why am I a hack? Why can't you say something which is notable?
Well, because you didn't even mention to open the show. This is why, I'm not even going to say it because I don't want more work, but Lamar Jackson's deal gets done.
Lamar Jackson's deal gets done.
How he gets less guaranteed money than Kyler Murray boggles my mind.
Well, he doesn't have to pay an agent. And he gets a lot of money. Right? I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
The guy annual, he's the highest paid, but still.
What is he, $52 million average annual?
Yeah, $185 guaranteed.
That's a lot of money. So, yeah, so he's staying there. And then they draft Zay Flowers. They add Beckham, and all of a sudden, that's another team you got to contend with.
Yeah, no kidding. He's back. He's happy. They actually added two weapons. They still got one of the best tight ends in the league. They got Roquan Smith all locked up.
Well, their defense is always good.
Right. And then you're going to have... Deshaun Watson's definitely going to be better this season. Pittsburgh never finishes under 500.
How about Tennessee? What is Tennessee doing?
I'm not really sure what Tennessee is doing.
They really must have no interest in Will Levis. None.
Yeah, well, they were one of the teams that were talking about trading up to three to get a quarterback.
Right. But they shored up the offensive line.
I mean, the ship is sad. It doesn't sound like, I mean, Malik Willis got replaced by Joshua Dobbs.
I was reading they think he has no chance to be an NFL quarterback.
He got replaced by Joshua Dobbs, Dave.
Who they signed off waivers.
Right.
Yeah, not good. You want to hang with our show at Citi Field?
Yes.
Yeah, Thursday, June 1, you can do it. We'll start our day, your day, by broadcasting live from Publicans in Manhasset from 6 to 10. Then we hit the Citi Field parking lot for a tailgate starting at 11 o'clock in the morning, all leading into the game at 1 o'clock against the hated Philadelphia Phillies. So spend the day with us on Thursday, June 1, starting at Publicans in Manhasset, then over to Citi Field for the DiPietro and Rothenberg tailgate with all sorts of giveaways and prizes and goodies. We're headed to the game and sitting in section 128. So get your tickets and hang with us all day long, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN. I had someone reach out to me from the station yesterday, and they said that this is pretty remarkable, by the way, to be honest. There are people, not a person, multiple people, getting on a plane and traveling for the tailgate.
We have the best, most loyal, supportive listeners out there.
It's exactly what we have.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.